in December, and one of them was that I was going to be a better teacher. I feel like I can do a better job teaching than what I have, and we have a vast array of multimedia with all the stuff that we can put up here, and I'm going to try and utilize that a little more this year. I know we've been able to use it a little bit in the past, but I think there's some things that can maybe drive home some points or even get you to a place where your imagination doesn't have to do as much. You can kind of see the things that we're talking about. And so I've asked Adam to do some stuff, to put some stuff on the wall that we can talk about. The other is that my prayer life would be better this year. Scott and I was talking earlier before class, and what kind of relationship would you and your wife have if y'all didn't talk very much? It wouldn't be a very good relationship. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe it would. No. But say someone that you have a good, strong relationship with, other than your spouse, what kind of relationship would it be if you didn't talk to them? And God wants to talk to us all the time. All the time. And yet, we don't do that. You know, for whatever reason, we get too busy, we get into our own thing, or we just don't trust God enough to communicate with Him. You know, oh, I don't want to bother God with that. God wants to be bothered with that. I was listening to the radio, and people were calling in and talking about their children. Boy, what great children. And nobody talks about their children more than I do. But this one lady, she said, you know, she just prayed to God, and God sent her an angel. She said, I know my daughter's just an angel. And I thought, how devastating is that? Yeah? You're with me, aren't you? How devastating is that for her to think her daughter's an angel? God didn't send His Son to die for the angels. He sent His Son to die for us. You know, angels are beings that we really don't know a great deal about. I mean, as far as their strength and the things that they do, we know some things, but they look into what we've got going on because they want to understand why God's relationship with us is like it is. You know, and here this lady says, oh, God sent me an angel. No, He sent you a precious human being, a daughter, that God loved so much that He gave His Son that she'd have everlasting life. So, to me, my prayer life hasn't been what it should be. And I know at times, maybe like with y'all, I've been closer to God than other times. When sometimes you can just feel His presence or as Brother Stone would say, you know, something happened and he'd say, well, that's not odd, that's God. You know, and somebody says, man, how are you able to do this? How are you able to do that? I've said this before, Donna, every day y'all show up at church, my faith is strengthened. Because you guys just go right on. And maybe not at home, but that's fine. But out here, we see your faith. Right? I mean, that just strengthens me. When we come in every day for Sunday school, and Dina may not know Kim, but she raises her hand and says, hey, when you say your prayers, say my prayer too. I told my neighbor that we'd be praying for her. And Kim may not know Dina, much less know Miss Tanner, but she's going to pray for her. That's faith. That's us expressing our faith, and we know that's what our community is here. That's our group is our community of faith, that we can come in and say, you know what? I know they think like I do, that if we petition God, not only does He hear us, but He acts in our lives. Now, there are stipulations. Adam, go ahead and turn that on, if you will. This is what's called the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. The Jews refer to it as the Western Wall. Because the Wailing Wall is just a specific area right there. And if they call it the Wailing Wall, then that doesn't give them as much property. The Western Wall gives them a greater expanse. That gold mound right up there on the top is the Muslim shrine. And they're still fighting over all this, you understand. But this was the retaining wall of the old temple that Herod built. And every day, three times a day, they go up to that wall and they've got their little deal on it. I don't remember what it's called, but they got their little prayer box on their head and they'll say a prayer three times a day. And they'll go up and of course through the ages the limestone is deteriorated. There's cracks in the wall and they'll write their prayers and stick them in the cracks of that wall. In 2009, most of y'all may remember, that they come up with a deal where you can tweak your prayer and somebody will write it down and carry it over there and stick it in the crack of the wall. It's not funny. It is. You can tweet it to them and they'll go over there and stick it in the wall. This is where they feel it's the shortest route to God. That's how they feel. Now these are the Jews that go up there every day and they pray at this certain place. That mound that's right up there above the wall is the third most sacred place of the Muslims. That's the Temple Mound. And again, there's a lot of historical content and things that are still to go on. But every day the Jews go up there and pray. Oh, there we go. They go up there and they say their prayers, they read their prayers, and then again, periodically they'll stuff some in the wall there. And they'll stick those prayers up in the wall and they're literally stuck there. Those prayers are stuck right where they're at. Eventually, as the more they get, they'll fall out on the ground and somebody will come by and sweep them up. And that's the extent of their prayers. If they want to know if their prayers are reaching heaven, you tell them they're not because they're stuck right there in the wall. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you." They've rejected His Son, Jesus Christ. Their iniquities have separated them. He can't hear their prayers. If they have prayers of repentance to where they accept His sacrifice, God hears those prayers. But other than that, when they stick those prayers in those cracks, that's where they're stuck at. You ever felt like maybe your prayers just kind of went up and hit the ceiling and fizzled out? That wasn't because of God's lack of hearing. That was our lack of faith. After we pray, Father, thank You again for the time that we could be here and, Lord, we can look into Your Word. Father, I pray that, Lord, would just impress upon our hearts that our prayer life is so important. Lord, You want to hear from us. You want us to express, Lord, the intricate things of our life, Lord, that You want to be part of. And, Father, sometimes we shut You out and, Lord, we shut You out because of sin and, Father, I pray that we see that today and that, Lord, that we make things afresh and new. Lord, I pray that, Lord, just through this lesson that we would get our communication with You right, that it would aid in our stewardship conference as we start off, Lord, into seeing what You have for us. And Lord, that we should have joy here in this life. And Lord, that through the teachings here this week, Lord, we'd find that out. And Lord, You'd just restore our joy. Lord, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." Look with me, if you will, in John chapter 14. Verse 13. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." I've told people publicly numerous times, I know I was taught growing up, that when we pray, we're to tell God, "God, I love you." My wife likes to hear that every now and then. That's about when I do it, every now and then. Her family, on the other hand, does it with every conversation. And they show it too, but I just, when I say it, I mean it. I very seldom, if ever, tell God I love Him. That sounds strange. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I don't always keep His commandments. And when I don't, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So I'm trying to get where I can tell God I love Him more. And all this collates together because your prayer life has to do with your daily walk and how you are with sin in your life. And again, sin will keep you from your fellowship with God. One, by embarrassment. God knows. God knows, and you know, here I am again in this situation. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then in Matthew, flip over there, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" I have to follow up on last week's lesson. I had a couple of you guys come to me and go, "Man, tell us the end of the story." Again, my son comes up Thursday. "Hey, I'm not enrolled in college and they've dropped me from the deal." And so we take out a loan to pay his tuition this time. And this is Thursday night. By Friday at noon, if he's not back on, he doesn't do school this semester. And it was just a communication deal. He failed to see the communications. I was irate. The way I get irate. I mean, I didn't physically do anything to him, but we had a talk and I said, you know, there's no sense in me paying for you to go to a private university when they'll do it because you're playing football. I mean, there's no sense in it. It's $25,000 a year if anybody wants to get in. There's no sense in it. And we had that discussion and I didn't sleep well Thursday night. And Friday we had planned on, he went to play college football. He's played for 2 years there. He's also a baseball player. Y'all know him. And so he starts baseball tomorrow, or Tuesday. So he wanted some bats for batting practice, and there's a bat company in Dallas, and he said, "Dad, this is the deal, you know, we got to go there and get them." So this was Thursday now, before we got the good news. So I didn't sleep well Thursday night. I got up Friday morning and I said, "Get dressed." He said, "Where are we going?" I said, "We're going to go get your bats." He said, "Why would you do that?" And I said, "Because that's what God does for me. He taught me the love of God." I mean, I told him, "Son, you hadn't done nothing that I hadn't done to God 10 times over." And I asked God, why do you bless me for that? So we go and we spend the day. We buy a couple of bats. I send him in the batting cages. He hits. I mean, we just have the big time. Eat lunch. We come home. That night, my wife was on the computer, and she got an email from the college and said that everything would be reinstated, that everything, whoops, sorry. And I said, I don't understand why that happened. I understand who made it happen, but I don't understand why it happened. But I believe that it's because of the way I handled it with my son. You know? I forgave and forget, and we go on. And I told him, I said, son, we're already over it. We're by it. Let's go. But I taught him the love of God through that situation. And I said, you know, I really don't want to know what happened over there, or why they reinstated whatever they did, or why it went down in the first place. But I know God had his hand in it. And I'm good with that. So he's at school. Everything's fine. We're rolling on. But thank you for asking. I left y'all hanging, I know. Several of you came up and said, well, what happened? But through prayer, in verse 9, he says, what man is there of you whom hath the son that asks for bread, will he give him a stone? You know, I thought about my son. I mean, I should have done the dad deal and said, nope, he started out in the freshman dorm. There's a real cool football dorm where all the big football guys stay. Well, he was able to move into it. And now there's what's called University Apartments that's on the campus, and he wanted to live there. And each time you move up, of course, it costs a little more money. And so he had made his way to the University Apartments. And they were looking on there, and they said, well, it's only so much more money for him to go there. And I said, no, you know what? You're going to stay right where you were until you take, you know. And the dad in me was like, no, there's got to be some punishment here somewhere. And then I thought, no, you know what? I don't want to be punished. I don't like the punishment. Mercy. I said, you know what? You go up there where you want to be. You get all the stuff you want, man. I want to do that. I want to do that because you're my son. You ask for bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. You know, I wanted to stop. We were working with his equipment and stuff there that night. And I wanted to stop and say, hey, can I read the prodigal to you? Can I do that? Kill a fatted calf and put a ring on his hand and dress. My son was dead and he's alive now. Amen? I mean, it wasn't that drastic, but it was a deal of he showed me what God wanted to do for me. That's what God's love for me is. But what about the sin in your life? It says here that in Isaiah it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Well, first of all, we have to, as the Jews have to do, go from a sinful life to a saved life. First of all, you've got to be saved. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Prayer is important. It's mentioned almost 500 times, either prayer or praying or something in the Bible. Jesus talks about prayer and gives us the model prayer. But look with you, Will, in 1 John. It says, we have to deal with the sin in our life so that we can communicate with God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My best friend lives here in Haslett, and we went all over the country together, and I hope that my testimony of just my life was a good testimony. I didn't act like the rest of the guys, and I sure didn't talk like the rest of the guys. And he called me one time and he said, I got saved. Man, I just started crying. He said, don't start crying, you get me to crying. I said, man, that just blesses me so. you know, for all the years, he said, I got saved. He said, I want you to come and see me get baptized. I said, okay, man, I'm there, you know. What a glorious day. So I asked him, I said, why are you getting baptized? And he said, well, to wash away my sins. And he said, no, wait a minute, no, that's not it. And I said, right. The water doesn't wash away your sins. Verse 9 there says that He cleanses us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what cleanses us from our sins? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood is a unique thing. The human blood does a number of things. It carries oxygen through our body, through the bloodstream. It chemically combines with the hemoglobin to form a solid. That human hemoglobin is the red part of our blood. It's a complex molecule. It's 3,032 atoms of carbon, 812 atoms of hydrogen, 780 atoms of nitrogen, 4 atoms of iron, 880 atoms of oxygen, and 12 atoms of sulfur. 9,520 atoms must hook up exactly right and deal with themselves for it all to work out. It boosts our immunity system. It fights off infection. The blood does a number of things. It must reach every cell in our body or that cell dies. When the blood stops circulating, death happens. That's why they pump on your chest for CPR, pumping that blood. I thought this was fascinating. The blood in an unborn fetus doesn't come from its mother. 13 to 18 days after conception, it starts producing its own hemoglobins. That blood is unique to that baby, to that person. Doesn't get it from its mother. Jesus Christ's blood was His blood, God's blood. It didn't have nothing to do with Mary at all. We learn for sure not Joseph. But Jesus' blood is what atones our sins. That's what cleanses us. The Jews have, of course, a lot of sacrifices, but they have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, the priest will take two goats. He'll take one goat and he'll kill that goat and he'll take the blood into the Holy of Holies. And he'll sprinkle it there on the mercy seat between the cherubims. The cherubims are facing inward with their faces down and their wings overextended together touching. But their faces are down, focusing on the blood. Isn't that pretty cool? Their faces are focusing on the blood that's the atonement. But he kills the one goat. He goes and he goes out and the other goat that we know is the scapegoat, he'll take his hands and he'll put it on that goat's head and he'll confess all the sins of Israel. And then a fit man, the Bible says, will take that goat and he'll take him somewhere where nothing's there, into the wilderness. And he'll leave that goat, the representation of their sins being carried away. But he confesses all their sins on that goat's head. Look back with me, if you will, in verse 7 of 1 John. He says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen? Not just part of it. You know, the problem we have is we don't have the mind of God. When we sin and we ask forgiveness of sin, we want to carry that guilt around with us. You realize if you ask God, hey God, that sin that we were talking about earlier, would you forget? God says, what sin? He's faithful and just to put it away. He puts it as far as the east is from the west. We ask the kids in children's church, what's the northernmost part of our earth? What's the North Pole? What's the southernmost part? It's the South Pole. Okay, give me the easternmost part. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. He places them far as the east is from the west. Says that He casts them in the sea of forgetfulness. But He says that Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. Now, I told you they had the Day of Atonement. They had a sin offering. And that sin offering dealt with sin. But they had a trespass offering that dealt with sins. And there's a good distinction here. The sin offering, that again was related to our sin, deals with what we are. We're sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. The trespass offering dealt with what we do. And that's our sins. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. An apple tree isn't an apple tree because it produces apples. It produces apples because it's an apple tree. If it bared no fruit this season, would it still be an apple tree? Of course it would. We're sinners, or we sin because we're sinners. It's not the other way around. The sin offering, it deals with the root of the problem, our sin. That's our sin nature. The trespass offering deals with the fruit of that, and that's that we sin. So in order for us to communicate and have open prayer with God, we have to deal with our sin. Again, I said before, first you got to be born again. You got to be washed in the blood. Those Jews that go every day to the West Wall or the Wailing Wall, and they stuff their sins or their prayers in those cracks, that's where they're stuck. Until they get saved, God can't look upon them. He can't deal with them. I've explained to y'all before, it fascinates me of what prayer is. We can actually now go and stand before the Creator of the universe. Not just the Creator, but the Sustainer of the universe. We go in and we stand before Him and we offer our petitions at His feet. You're the only one that got that, aren't you? That's amazing. That in itself, that we can go before God. Before Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, the high priest would go before God. Now, the veil's been torn, and we're our own priest. We can go in there now. You know, I've explained numerous times, I'm taken by the leper that Jesus healed. And He said, go and tell no man, but present yourself before Moses and do the law of Moses. But present yourself to the priest and do the law of Moses. Well, the guy didn't do it. He went and said, man, I'm healed. Hallelujah, I've got a new life. I'm alive. Which is what we would all do. But I always wondered what would happen if he would have done what Jesus told him to do. And he goes and you see all the ritual or the ceremonies that he performed. And one of them was that he took the blood and he put it on his ear and then on his thumb and on his toe. And it was the same anointing as they do to make a priest. He made the guy his own priest. He now didn't have to go before the priest so that the priest would go and talk to God for him. He could do it himself. We have that ability. And we don't always utilize it. You know, how many times, hopefully you don't, but at lunch today, do you look around and go, all right, guys, hurry, we're going to pray. Right? There's people in here. Man, I tell you what I want to do is take my spoon and hit on my glass. Ding, ding, ding. We're going to pray. Can everybody hold it down? We're all going to pray right here. Yeah? Why not? Confess Jesus before men. You know, or how many times, you know why God is great? and why God is good is because it rhymes with food. Right? I mean, that's how we teach our kids. God's not great and good because it rhymes with food. It doesn't rhyme with it. God's great whether we say He's great or not. Right? Right? I love what Kevin said to his friend that he said, pray for my dad. He's got a heart problem and we prayed for him here and his dad came through the surgery and the guy went to Kevin and he said, man, God's good, isn't He? And Kevin said, if your dad wouldn't have made it through the surgery, would God still be good? That's a good question. But it's not one that we ask because God's good anyway. Whether we declare Him good or not, God's good anyway. But we have the ability to go and stand before the Creator of the universe, the one who sustains it today and makes it do what it does. And I think sometimes we're flippant with it. I've told y'all before, I think sometimes it's too easy to say, God, forgive me of that, and keep traveling. You know, we never break stride. Well, God, I knew I shouldn't have done that, but covered with the blood, here we go. And I think we do. You know, when we did Vacation Bible School this last summer, we did the tabernacle. We built the tabernacle in here. We had the sheets hanging down right here, and we had the Holy of Holies, and we had the brazen altar, and we had the laven, and I went and bought real live sheep. And I brought one in here, and we had that little sheep here all week, and it followed me around, and those kids loved it. They named it. And we got to Wednesday night, and I brought some more sheep up here in a pen. And the little guy that was doing the deal said, you know what, it's time to sacrifice. I think I got it. Can I do that one? No, he's got a blemish. Can I do that one? No, he's got a spot. And he said, you know what, hang on, there was a perfect lamb here somewhere. And some of the kids started crying. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I do VBS. They started crying. You know what those kids realized? They're going to kill something because of sin. Taylor said, you know what? I didn't realize that they killed lambs because of my sin. That changes the way I look at sin. Yeah? There's a kid that got it. You know, the guy went and he grabbed the little sheep and took it to the altar. And the kids were, oh, no, no. You know, are y'all really going to do this? Brother Clark's crazy. He may kill that sheep in here. And I stepped forward and said, we don't have to do that anymore. Amen. God sent a lamb. He sent a lamb to take the place of our sins. But sometimes I think it's just too easy. I think that. I know it's not, but it's covered by the blood. But it breaks off my communication. All of us, most all of us have kids in here. When your kids was disobedient, did you want to do something for them immediately? Of course not. Dad, I know I tore up the backyard, but can I borrow the car keys? Huh? You're asking for that now? No, get back in good graces, right? God doesn't hear us when there's sin in our lives. We may think He's listening to us, but that's when we feel like our prayers just kind of go up and fizzle away. I can tell you that my wife and I have prayed specifically. I'm talking about an exact number. And God delivered that. The exact number that no one else knew about but she and I. That'll change the way you think about prayer. He heard us. Ugh. He really watches us. He sees us. As we want to take care of our own children, God wants to do the same thing for us. Again, I hope y'all don't get tired of it. I talk about my kids because that's my relationship with God. I used to just sit sometimes and watch my little boy. He'd be watching TV. I'd just sit and watch him. I'm just fascinated with it. That God gave us, and my daughter too, but sometimes I just would. And God looks at us that way. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. It's what He says. but He also wants us to live and act in a certain way. Why is that important? Because it's our testimony and our witness to someone else. We tell the kids all the time, hey, if you're saved and you're in this class and you're cutting up, somebody else may not be saved. You need to be the one acting good. I'll tell you, if you're the one saved at work, y'all need to be the ones acting good. Because somebody may be lost. When John Reed went off to the military, I've told this story before, he called me late one night and he said, man, I'm in Abilene. He said, they're fixing to send me to Kuwait. He was in Desert Storm. He said, man, I'm scared. He said, they're sending me, I'm right out of high school. They're sending me off to war. I said, well, John, what kind of picture did your recruiter paint for you? You know, what did he tell you y'all were going to be doing? And I told him before he went off to boot camp, I said, John, you've got to be a life preserver. Everybody know what a life preserver is? USS, whatever, hanging on a ship. You've seen it. It's got a little rope around it. Everybody can identify it, right? When you're out there in the water swimming and playing and having fun, you don't have no need for that. That's kid stuff. But when you're out there for a while and you begin to get tired and you start to wear out and wear down and you begin to sink, somebody throws that life preserver towards you, you're going to grab it. Why are you going to grab it? Because you can identify what it'll do for you. I told him, I said, you need to be different. You need to act different. You need to talk different. You need to look different so that you can be identified. So that when someone begins to search for a lifesaver, they can say, hey, I can identify that one. I need to talk to you. Hey, I've noticed you're different. Can we communicate here? And he was able to witness to some guys at boot camp that got into a situation that said, you know what? Hey, when they're fixing to send you off to war and you're 18 or 19, you get right with God, won't you? Yeah? Some crisis comes up in your life. Oh boy, I'm on my prayer towel, right? Things are going good. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes I don't want things to go smooth and good. Right? Because as we said last week, we put God up on a shelf. We go, I got this for a while. Let me cruise through my deal and see how I do. And then something happens. We go, oh, where'd I put God? I got to get God back in my life. And I think sometimes when things go best is when we're less communicating with God. That's just human nature, isn't it? When things are going great, we really don't need God. Man, I got this handled. Well, get a crisis in your life. Get a health issue. And who's holier than thou now, huh? Now we want God around and, hey, God, hang out with me. Before, you know, I'm hanging out with these guys and, God, you may not feel comfortable with this group. Well, you shouldn't feel comfortable with that group either. Right? I mean, I'm like y'all. The guys I used to hang out with, I can't hang out with them now. Not because I don't want to hang out with them. They don't want to hang out with me. They don't. They don't want to hang out with me. Gosh, we can't talk that way around him. We can't act that way around him. They get uncomfortable. You know? Why? Because they know they're not doing right. But that's okay with me. I'll still hang out with you guys. Verse 7 says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Man, we don't have to worry about sin hanging on to us. And once our slate's clean, we have communication with God. Now who goes astray? God's still right there. But we go to traveling down the road and we begin to look left and right and things go to happening, right? And it dampens our communication with God. I think we need to be more conscious of our communication with God. I appreciate Scott says, man, he gets up and he reads his Bible every morning and it's changed his life. Completely. Changed his life. Changes the way he looks at the day and how he deals with people. Because he's got communication back with God. And I hope and pray that that's our prayer this year, is that we get a closer walk with God. That's going to change the way we live our lives as far as the sin in our lives and getting rid of that sin and getting closer to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time that we could spend in your word. And Father, I do pray that, Lord, we're conscious of, Lord, the effort that we make to, Lord, to try and walk in your light. And Lord, that when we do stumble and fall, Lord, that we would repent. Lord, that we would get a closer communication and walk with you. Lord, that we look into your word, we read your word this year. Lord, that it would keep us from some of the sin that we do. Lord, we know that your word's true. Father, thank you for Dr. House, for him being here this week. And Lord, I just pray that we purpose in our hearts to be here. Lord, be attentive to your word. Lord, give him the words to say, Lord, that we hear from you and not from him. And Father, again, thank you for the time that we have. Lord, bless our services in Christ's name. Amen.